Let me lead us in prayer as we come to look at Hebrews chapter 3. Lord, thank you so much that you have spoken through your word. Help us to be good listeners, for me to speak clearly and faithfully to your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever tried rowing? We have cousins, or not cousins, they're sort of fake cousins, you know, those people who aren't relatives but kind of are relatives because your parents are such good friends. And we went and saw them up in Grafton. And I remember a very cold winter's morning where they took us out. I don't know what the river or the lake is up in Grafton where you go rowing, but they took us out and set us on these rowboats, their rowboats. And they're used to this thing. They know what to do. But I couldn't for the life of me work out how to stop going round and round in circles. It's just impossible. They're just rowing along, steaming along in that direction, and I'm just going round and round in circles. It took me a long time until they pointed out to me, do you know how to keep it going straight? The key is to keep your eyes fixed on a point. Okay, I'm looking at that post. The funny thing about a rowboat is you're going backwards, so it's a little bit weird. You don't know where you're going, but you're going straight at least if you keep your eyes fixed on that point over there. And as we look at Hebrews chapter 3, the clear point that we need to hear is that we need to keep our thoughts, our minds, our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ if we want to keep going in the straight direction, if we want to keep going to the destination and not drift away from where we're headed. Now, as we begin our Bible reading today in Hebrews 3, it begins with a therefore. And I tell you a corny thing that someone has often told me. When you see a therefore, you have to ask the question, what is the therefore therefore? Okay? What's the therefore therefore? Because if we don't understand what came before, we're not going to understand what's coming afterwards. And last week we looked at the previous passage which spoke of Jesus as the ultimate human, uniquely qualified to be the Saviour because he has lived a perfect righteous life and because as a human he's able to be the substitute to stand in and take the consequences for our sin as he died on the cross and rose again to new life. Therefore, because Jesus is the only one able to be our Saviour, because Jesus is the one uniquely qualified to provide salvation to us, what is it that we need to do from verse 1 that we read? It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Jesus is the one that we need to focus on. He is our apostle and high priest. They're funny words, aren't they? The apostle means the sent one, the one who's the messenger from God who brings God's word to us. Therefore, we can hear from God as we hear from Jesus. And secondly, he's the high priest, the one who intercedes between us and God, who reconciles us, brings us back into relationship, healthy relationship with God. Our relationship with God is broken because of our sin. And we can't just come before him. We need an intermediary. And that intermediary who brings us back to God is and can only be Jesus Christ. And for those reasons, he brings God's word. He is the only one who can stand between us. He's the one we need to focus on. There's a lot of places in life that we could fix our thoughts. There's a lot of things that we tend to focus on. It may be work or leisure or home renovation, making money, your relationship with your kids or your family. What is it that you fix your thoughts on, your hopes on? Do you think that through your child's education they're going to get the most out of life and therefore the school they attend is the thing you've fixed your thoughts on? I'm going to get that right. Do you think and fix your thoughts on eating healthy and getting plenty of exercise as the key to success in life? Do you think that making money, being wealthy, building a good house is the key to success in life? Well, whatever you think, that's where you're going to focus your thoughts and your mind on. And many of these things are good things, but I want to tell you they aren't the thing that will bring true contentment and happiness and joy. Jesus is our apostle and high priest. He's the one who brings God's word for us. He's the only one who can atone for our sins and reconcile us to God. So he's the one we ought to fix our thoughts on, because in him we find not a temporary solution, not a maybe, but true contentment and eternal life. In him we find what we truly need. Now, one of the things that the guy who wrote Hebrews has been trying to say in these early chapters of Hebrews is how great Jesus is. And he said that by saying Jesus is the culmination of God's revealing himself to us in his word. Jesus, even though angels are amazing, Jesus is even better than them. And now he wants to point out how great Jesus is, even compared to Moses. Now, many of you will be familiar with Moses. You might even have watched some movie called The Ten Commandments at Christmas time or something like that. Moses was the man who essentially established the nation of Israel. As the Israelites were rescued out of Egypt under Moses' leadership, as he brought them the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, as he held up his hands and the Red Sea parted as they crossed, Moses is a hero. And not just a hero of the Christian faith, but also of Judaism, also in Islam. And so as we come here to see Jesus compared to Moses, we're sort of connecting with a reference point that lots of people can relate to. Yeah, Moses is great. Jesus is incredible. Jesus is even better. And so we see in verse 2 that both Moses and Jesus are faithful to the ones who appointed them. They were both faithful servants of God. In that way, they're the same, but there's also significant differences. So we read in verse 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was God's ambassador and spokesman in establishing the people of Israel. He played a foundational role, but he was still just a member of that house, not above it or something better than it. It's like Moses is the captain coach, but Jesus invented the game. That's the kind of comparison we're talking about. I don't know about you, but when I see an impressive building, we used to watch Grand Designs a lot, or perhaps if you go into the city and see some great new high-rise that they're putting up, it's pretty amazing often, isn't it? But you look at that building and immediately you probably think, I wonder if Brian was on the crane. I wonder if he helped put it together. I wonder who designed that building. That's amazing, isn't it? What a feat of engineering. And when you look at the building, you're drawn to think about, wow, whoever created that must be pretty impressive. And it's the same as we look around our world. It's easy for us not to do this. But as we look at the wonderful sunset, as we look at the glorious hills that surround us, don't just think about those hills. Imagine who made them. Imagine his creativity and imagination. Imagine his delight in providing us with all the blessings and joys of this life that he has given us. Well, that's what this author is saying. Moses was part of the creation of the people of God, the house of God's people. But Jesus is its founder, its creator. Jesus is so much greater, therefore, and he's the one that we need to look to. But it was only possible what Moses did in establishing God's people. He built the tabernacle that was to allow God to dwell with his people. He established the sacrificial system, which was a way for them to approach God, even though they were sinful and he was a holy God, through the sacrifices of goats and bulls, etc. But all of that was only possible because of the future work of Christ. That's what verse 5 points out. Moses spoke of atoning for sins and reconciliation with God. He spoke of God being with his people. But as we read in verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. Now, usually on a Saturday morning, my kids have to clean their room and do their chores before they're allowed to have screen time. I don't know what the arrangement is at your house. But sometimes, when they really harass and harangue us, we'll let them have screen time in anticipation of cleaning their room and doing their chores. Usually that's a very big mistake. Doesn't always work. But I want to say, perhaps Moses here, he's kind of offering, God will dwell with you, forgive your sins, in anticipation of what Christ will do. The only difference is Christ is faithful. He will do what he has promised. My kids, not so much. But see, Moses was able to declare God's love and forgiveness and the opportunity for the Israelites to dwell with God as his people, but only because he was looking forward with anticipation to what Christ would do. And it is only by Christ's righteous life, death on the cross, and rising again that what Moses did was possible. Because it's only ever by Jesus Christ that someone can be made right and reconciled back into relationship with God and dwell with him and enjoy life with him now and eternal life with him later. And so that is the blessing that Jesus and only Jesus can bring. And so everything that Jesus has for us is amazing, incredible. The blessing of forgiveness and eternal life, being part of a family that we would be his holy brothers and sisters, is beautiful. But we need to be wary that we don't take that for granted. Because if we don't have our eyes fixed, our thoughts fixed on Jesus, it will be very easy for us to drift and not make it to that final destination. As the warning that gets picked up from Psalm 95 from the Israelites when they didn't listen to Moses and God and ended up wandering in the desert and being lost and not entering the promised land. And so we come to the warning from God. This is a don't let this happen to you story. Can you imagine being there when God sent the plagues on Egypt and forced Pharaoh to let God's people go free from slavery and subjugation? That would have been incredible. Can you imagine being there when God, through Moses, parted the Red Sea and you walked across on dry land, rescued from the chasing Egyptian army? Can you imagine being there as thunder and the mountain of Mount Sinai shook and Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and the stone tablets to establish a covenant, a healthy relationship between God and his people? That would have been amazing. And yet that's what these people witnessed. And they still, in the end, strayed away from him. Didn't listen to God and ended up wandering in the wilderness, in the desert. And so we need to heed the warning. The warning of Psalm 95 today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did, that 40 years of rescue and establishing them and his people, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my way, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. We have the word of God. We have our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has done all that is required for our salvation and our full life in him. It would be such a tragedy for us to get distracted from focusing on him and instead to be wandering off after a nice house and a pretty garden and a white picket fence and so to miss out on our eternal inheritance. It would be an absolute tragedy for us to wander off in any different direction, because it is only in Jesus Christ that the joy and blessing of being his people can be found. But we have a secret weapon to guard against this happening, to protect us from drifting away from Christ and missing out on all he has to offer. And that secret weapon is each other. If you have a look there at verse 12, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters," that's all of us, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, this is not a word spoken to individuals independent of each other. This is for you and you and you. This is for us, yous, so to speak. This is a message that God's people have a responsibility to each other, to help each other, to fix their thoughts on Jesus Christ, to remind each other and encourage one another daily. Do you know, it's so encouraging when I regularly get a text message from my mate Dave Parnell with a Bible verse that's encouraged him to spur me on. It's so inspiring to hear from Glynis frequently that she prays for me every day. It's amazing to visit the nursing home and the Crawfords, and even though they're losing their minds big time, they always have a smile and an encouraging word to share to help me stay on track in Christ. I'm encouraged by the faithful saints of Picton and Wilton who turn up and are there for each other. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it is our secret weapon to stand firm in Christ and not drift away. There's also a responsibility here that we need to treat with great care, a responsibility to gently call out sin when we see it in each other's lives, so that that undealt with sin doesn't become a hard heart that over time turns away from the living God. So today, let me remind you how incredible Jesus Christ is, the only one who can bring God's final word to us, who can be the intermediary between us and God to reconcile us back into healthy relationship with him and so grant us forgiveness and eternal life. So let me encourage you, as Brian and Kristen for Joe have committed today, to fix your thoughts on Jesus Christ, to keep him central in your life, so that that rowboat might be headed in the straight and narrow, not just drifting waywardly through life without purpose, but holding firm to the promises and the blessings of Jesus Christ. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we praise you so much for our Saviour Christ. May he grow in our esteem as we learn more about him in your word. May we trust him wholly with our lives, obey him in our actions, and love him in our heart. May we keep our eyes and our thoughts fixed on Jesus, that we might make the most out of a joyful and full life with you as our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.